Hey, everybody.
Assume you guys can hear me and Connie, maybe, maybe not. Maybe they can't hear me either, because I am not getting anything, so let me type it in. It's all good, Cheryl. Thank you for making that recording announcement. Welcome everyone to Growing with NTI.
Hey everybody.
Can you hear both me and Connie? And the cat sneezing. yes, both. Good. All right. So we'll start with a prayer. Connie, you want to do the prayer?
Sure. Thank you, God. Thank you for letting me teach tonight with my lovely sister Jacqueline, Cheryl being here, and Kathy being here, and all those folks out in Radio Land. Thank you. And help me hear the message, because that's what I want to teach. I'm so grateful to hear. Thank you, God. Thank you for the bottom of my heart.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Connie. I know that I'm driving y'all nuts asking you if you care.
You're much better now.
You can?
Yeah, when you get closer to the thing.
Okay. Okay, good. Because I was having a hard time hearing Connie because she got quiet. Okay. All right. I'll quit asking about the sound and go on and do the thing, right? Of course, yes, she was on. Okay. She was on the quiet side. Well, don't speak like you're praying.
Speak up, fool.
All right, so I looked up where we left off last week, and I think we had actually started NTI 1 Timothy chapter 5, but I think that at that time we declared we would start at the beginning of that chapter this week. So NTI 1 Timothy chapter 5, page 378 of NTI. Yes, ma'am? Connie?
I know I said that sounds good.
Okay, good. So, the page is 378, Kathy. To love thyself is to love all and to accept all as you. Now, if you're not looking at the book, that is in italics, which my experience with NTI has been that that's the really important stuff. To love thyself is to love all and to accept all as you. This is to let go of personhood, for personhood says, I am me and they are them. But this statement is absolutely false. As you guys know, we've been looking at this same concept this week in general healing, and it's been discussed in terms of the independent mind, or believing in an independent mind. The wish to be independent, I'm looking at commentary from day 208 on the wish to be independent. The wish to be independent is the wish for me who is separate from you, and whose key interests may be different. Yeah. So, anyway, I just wanted to note that similarity. Oh, you know what? This week we had an assignment given to us by Connie, and the assignment was similar to the one we got in general healing, but that was to To see no separate persons, to see the sameness instead of seeing the differences. Does that sound right, Connie?
Yes. Yes. And how did you do with that,
Jackie? Well, I think, Connie, I did the same with that, the way I do with everything else. I half-assed did it, so I can't tell you that I'd love to tell you I had these spectacular results, but I can't say that because I half-assed did the lesson. You know, it's Kathy,
I'm having right now, even the one that seems to be before me right now. And so, you know, I didn't beat myself up for not automatically noticing the sameness piece of it. It just seemed for me personally, I noticed the difference first. And I decided to love that and still do the lesson. So that's all I wanted to say. I'll give up the mic thing.
Kathy, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, thank you, Kathy.
Yeah, and I really appreciated the part where you said, you know, you know, you didn't beat up on yourself for that because, you know, it's the same thing whether I beat up on myself or somebody else. You know, there's only one of us here. So if I beat up on myself, you know, I haven't accomplished anything. Oh, I was going to see him as the same. Oh, I suck so bad. It's as bad as going, oh, he sucks so bad.
Yeah, and I did a little bit of that. I would, at the office, I would catch myself because I was ready to beat up on somebody. Oh my God, I was ready. And then I go, oh, wait a minute. We're all here just trying to get the work done.
We are. And what? Go ahead.
And we're all doing the best we can. And there's nothing malicious going on here. That was an oversight. You have them too. So I did a few of those. Quite a few, as a matter of fact.
And Kathy has her hand up again, so I'm going to turn the mic over to Kathy.
And just one more thing, because Cheryl had posted on the board about Trump, President Trump today, and certainly for me, just having come off of watching some news this evening, I found myself gleeful that there was some sort of resolution to the Manafort trial, as well as Cohen pleading guilty, both of them, you know, with the guilt crown on their heads in my mind, and feeling like giddy about that, and like so glad that something's finally, it's like a pimple that, I mean, you've been just waiting for it to come to a head so you could just squeeze it. And it's like, it was, I'm telling you, you know, definitely noticeable within my experience that I was seeing guilt, seeing myself separate then, hoping for justice, whatever that means in my mind. And in my mind, that means impeachment ultimately. So, you know, just being honest with what's going on with me. And at the same time, there's just that little background piece that knows this is just a really dramatic part of a movie. And this is an actor that's playing such a magnificent part that I've so been sucked into. And I still am to some degree. And you know, still on a personal level, being back of that enough to notice myself doing all that and really not have a whole lot of guilt about it at all. I just got done reading Michael Langford's loving all method again, like twice in the last couple of days. And it's simply a matter of, you know, it's emotional acceptance. Let the emotions come up. Let them come up and love them exactly as they are. And so that's what I did. And it makes it easier than, getting into that old habit of condemning myself. Here you go again, judging. It's like, get over that. Just get over that. It's not even your thought to begin with. Just notice it and move on. So I'm going to let my go. Thanks, guys, for letting me share.
Thank you so much for sharing, Kathy.
Yeah, I love it that you're sharing, Kathy. And I wanted to say, you know, and I do that too with it's not even your thought anyway. Because I was so impacted when I learned that, you know, that there are two thought systems, that of the Holy Spirit and that of egos. And one of them belongs to the realm of the Holy Spirit. One of them belongs to the realm of the ego. So really, you know, you can claim to be one of them or you can claim to be neither of them. But it is a thought system. So why be ruled by it?
Kathy says yes. I will say that when Kathy was speaking, what came to mind was when I go to bed at night, I listen to an Audible book. And the one I was listening to last night was Adyashanti's Resurrecting Jesus. And in that book, he tells a story about how he was talking about humility and spiritual hubris, and he talked about how at some point he was going over on a regular basis to meditate with whoever his teacher was and other students, and he found himself going, you know, I don't know what they're doing, but I sure am doing this well, right? You know, and just patting himself on the back. Yeah, what did he call him? He said he even had a name for him, Arrogant Man. So he said for, you know, a couple of months, Arrogant Man would pop up, and he didn't know how to get rid of it or what to do about it, or, you know, and he tried this, and he tried that, you know, affirmations, and he tried, you know, denying it and trying to slap it out of the way or whatever. And ultimately, hubris, hubris is probably... I don't know. I'd say it's milder form of arrogance, but I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up, Kathy. He did say that after several weeks of trying everything he knew to get rid of it, and he was horrified, you know, because it's all about not having a self, not being the best self there, right? But he said when he finally did exactly what you said, Kathy, to just let it be, he said it literally popped like a bubble. It just went away. When he just noticed it and did nothing, you know, had no need to change the thought or do anything with the thought, get rid of it, when he just allowed it, it just went away.
You know, that chapter that Regina wanted us to read.
Chapter 15? Mm-hmm. Of Michael Singer's Untethered Self, yeah.
Yes. That said the same thing. It said, well, it said, you know, it's the way to enlightenment is just be happy. I thought, well, shoot, I could probably do that. I was watching that this week, and I go, well, you're fussing about this. Maybe you're still happy, you know. And of course, then the ego wants to justify. Yeah, I'm still happy, but I have to say, you know, I have to say this.
Yeah, I'm happy, but.
I'm happy, but let me say where I'm contentious about something.
Right. Yeah, and I wanted to say that this well, this exercise that you gave us, Connie, last week was consistent with with gentle healing and its commentary on the wish to be independent. What really came up for me this week with gentle healing, with those commentaries and the thoughts of awakening, was the contrast, just as the point you were just making, Connie, the contrast between independence and listening.
Do more about that.
And what I was throughout these commentaries was this wish to be independent, this wish to have things go your way, right? Whatever way you define them, is the block to listening, to hearing.
Oh, there you go. That's been the problem. Okay.
By the
Glad you resolved that problem. Now I'll be way down the road next time we talk.
now I can hear, right? So, but actually, that's it, it makes a good point because if independence is the voice of the ego, and you're wed to that, right? You need things your way. Then it's clear that that's the voice that you're listening to. It's always by our own choice which voice we're going to listen to. Now, you can recognize, as Kathy said, and as Adya Shanti said, you can recognize those thoughts, and as Kathy pointed out, they're not even my thoughts, but it is the voice of ego, it is the voice of independence, right? So you can hear them and yet recognize that those are neither your thoughts nor your true desire. And not need to chastise yourself for having them, not need to even change your thoughts. Just recognize them for what they are. Oh, there's the voice of independence, or oh, there's the voice of ego. But not, damn it, I keep hearing those thoughts. Right?
Right. Yeah. To do what you said, the Michael Singer,
I think I was talking about
the
Ashanti.
Adyashanti,
Yeah, to.
and the meditation,
Yeah.
best meditator.
Yeah. Master meditator. That's right. By the way, we have a definition for hubris, excessive pride or self-confidence, excess of confidence, synonyms, arrogance, conceit, haughtiness, hauteur, pride, self-importance, egotism, pomposity, superciliousness, and superiority. So, but that's just the other side of that coin, right? That's also the thought that I'm independent. If there's only one of us, how could I how who can I be better than, right?
Yeah, you have to be dualistic for you to be better than somebody.
Right. Kathy says supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
I really like the way Gina was talking about that one tip about sharing the me with her.
Tell me more, please.
One of the tips this week was saying that I don't know if I remember it exactly, but it was talking
What?
about having being cognitive that whether she was coming from that me and whether that was who she was seeing herself as being when she doesn't see herself as being that me anymore. As early on in the week.
Yeah, I think it's you're talking about day 204. That was, that meditation that we did in Philippians, maybe, I think is what you're talking. I was guided not to listen to the idea that there was nothing beyond the feeling of me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's powerful stuff. And for the most part, I've done very little of that because, it means all I've been concerned about to be. Not all I'm concerned about, but the majority of my concern is for the me.
Right. Yeah, and the peripheral me's, like your daughter, your partner.
Exactly.
Yeah, your employees. Yeah.
So that takes us back to where we started. To love thyself is to love all and to accept all that as due.
Yeah, we've read one sentence. To love thyself is to love all and to accept all as you. Connie, maybe you want to read the next paragraph. I got to step out for just a second. Do you mind?
No, I don't mind at all. This is to let go of personhood. For personhood says, I am me and they are them. But this statement is absolutely false. Look on your brother and your sister, whether they seem to be older or younger, smarter or more foolish, richer or poorer, more beautiful or more in need. Look on your brother and your sister and accept that they are you. This acceptance is the opening to the release of personhood. That's just so powerful.
Yeah, again, it's like we talk about those two columns. It's like, if you're focused on the differences, you get to continue to see separate people, separate interests, separate goals, a separate plan, a separate purpose for life, right?
If you're focused on what?
If you're focused on your
differences.
The differences, yeah.
Yeah, and when we say we're focused on the differences, it's basically because judgments come up. And we run with that thought, don't you think? That's how you're focused on the difference. Oh.
Yeah.
I would never wear that.
I would never do that way. That's exactly the thought that came into my mind, which is the judgment thought.
Yes. Right. So immediately, and in my call, or my hearing this week, that what needed to happen was to see the sameness, that would pop up and go, it's kind of like you were talking about Byron Katie and somebody else going, have I ever been selfish? Have I ever been sloppy? And whatever my judgment was, is to immediately go there and say, have I ever done that I'm critical of right now, or have I ever felt like that, or have I, and put myself in the same judgment that I was judging.
Well, and actually, I think that's critical, because what it was Byron Katie and Jeff Foster, and I think what they're what they're talking about is exactly what you're talking about, which is, of course I have. That's the human condition. Have I ever lied? Of course I have. You know, have I ever been stingy? Of course I have. Have I ever put my interest in front of somebody else? Of course I have. That is the human condition. And the human condition is this belief that there's an I that needs to be self-protective, that there's an I who has interests that are opposed to yours. And, of course, this is what the entire Course in Miracles is about, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, in fact, in the Course in Miracles, it transports you into realizing and says something like, there is, come to the realization that you have no interests that are separate from your brother.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is the same thing, and by realizing that, you begin to undo the belief in separate personhood. You begin to turn towards what's the same.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, and of course, what's the same is. It's the whole love factor, and that all everybody really wants is to be loved anyway.
Right. Yeah. Right. And that's all everybody's looking for, is to be loved, and that's the human
right.
condition. Because the truth is, it's all that's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. We're looking for it everywhere, and it's happening, and we put all the judgments on it, and we can't see it.
Yeah. Yeah, we put all the judgments on it. We keep going, no, it's not one. There's a me, there's a you. I have these interests, you have those. Yeah. And just it's the whole thought process is a denial of our truth. Okay. All right. So.
So let's read that last
please do.
Sentence. Look on your brother. Or the last two sentences, sorry. Look on your brother and your sister and accept that they are you. This acceptance is the opening, the release of personhood.
It's the opening.
It doesn't seem like that ought to be that difficult.
You know, it's such a habit to think of my interest as opposed to the rest of the world.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess do that for 60 years. Yeah. I might need a little assistance with this, Holy Spirit.
Yeah, well, and of course, you know, just like we learned from Alcoholics Anonymous, not that you and I have ever been there, but we learned that they'd say, awareness of a problem is the first step, or acknowledging that you have a problem is the first step, right? So we do. We have a problem. I'm addicted to the belief that I'm an individual, separate person, which with individual, separate beliefs. Okay. We're addicts, yeah. Yeah, thanks, Ken. Yeah, it looks like we're going to have some thunderstorms tonight. So we're going to stay in our cozy, or all of us are going to stay in our cozy own homes instead of going over there for gentle healing. Okay. Okay.
All right, so you may have to explain the next statement.
Well, maybe. You may have to explain it, but let's look at it. Everyone is your family. Not within the concept of personhood, but within the concept of expression. So, well, I think we're going to have to read some more and see if this explains itself. The concept of personhood says, I am me and they are them. But my family is an extension of the thought I. So they are closer to I than are those who stand further away as them. I think it's saying the same thing we said a while ago when you said all your thoughts were, or at least that paragraph seems to be, you know, all your thoughts are about me and extensions of me, my daughter, my partner, my employees.
All right, I got that. Good,
yes. And let's see. Next paragraph says the concept of personhood is the concept of division and separation, so that even within the idea of my family, I am me. And they are them. Again, that same idea. This is my family. Everybody else is not. Right? And Connie, you've been talking about that for years, how if something's going on with your kid, you're really upset. But if it's just some kids over wherever, in some foreign country, starving, you know, whatever. It's not a big deal, right?
We can't relate at all, but it, you know, and I still have a hard time with that. I watch those people over in Syria, and I mean they're frightened people, and then we throw chemicals on them, and then somebody here. It's all been out of shape because teacher scolds one of the students, you know, and you're going, oh my God.
Yeah. So it's all relatives, and it's all of hierarchy and degrees, and I mean, you know, separation just splinters into more and more separation.
Yes. And it just seems like this seems like we're further and further removed from love.
And Kathy, I'm sure this is a reference to the news, but since I rarely watch the news, Kathy's typed, Connie probably knows, Aleppo, A-L-E-P-P-O.
Yeah.
is that the guy that's in charge of splitting families up?
No, that's a place.
Oh. I'll not guess in the future. actually, when we were talking about how you know there's my family and then the rest of the world, I was actually reminded of a conversation Regina and I were having yesterday about how she won't eat lobster. Because of the way they cook them. You know, they just throw them in the pot, right? Alive. And they scream. and then we were talking about...
I've never heard them screaming.
I have heard that they have. I have not heard them screaming. But, you know, but, oh, well, that's just an animal, you know. I mean, you know, that's... So that's... I'm even more at liberty to say that's not me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the truth is, it's all me. And if there's pain and suffering, I'm participating in that. Kathy says, 60 Minutes featured volunteer doctors from the USA going to help in the hospitals that are being bombed. Yeah. In Aleppo.
Yeah, that was really good. Yeah. And my heart goes out to those people that do something about what they're seeing too, that want to help and give back.
Yeah. Kathy says it was upsetting to her as well.
All right, let's read about the concept of expression.
Okay. The concept of expression is the understanding and acceptance of symbolism. Expression says, this world is an illusion. It is the expression of the freedom of the Son of God. Therefore, everything I see and experience is a symbol of that one expression. As the symbol of one expression, it is also one. Therefore, what seems many is one. This is the meaning of the word family. There is only one family in God because there is only one God. There are no differences among people, and so there are rules they must follow. So I actually want to just want to back up. Expression says this world is an illusion. It is the expression of the freedom of the Son of God. Therefore, everything I see and experience is a symbol of that one expression. Therefore, what seems many is one. This is the meaning of the word family. You have any commentary? You want me to go on and finish up this idea, Connie?
Are you saying you're going to read on, or are you going to?
I was asking you if you wanted me to read on. No, I was asking you if you wanted me to read on.
No, I'm not perfectly clear what's being said here. Expression says this world is an illusion.
Well.
And I don't get how that and the next statement are tied together. It's expression of the freedom of the Son of God.
Well, I think we have to back up. I think we have to back up because he's laying out Holy Spirit is laying out a logical progression here, and I think that by cutting it up, we're doing ourselves and our listeners a disservice, probably. So, but it's contrasting.
Family.
Right. Well,
them
and they. Right? Yes. So it begins with this point. Everyone is your family.
Okay.
Okay. Everyone is not your family within the concept of personhood. We know that. There's my family and then there's all the rest of y'all.
Okay.
But within the concept of expression, it's clear that there's only one family. Everyone is my family. So
all right,
it's a funny, it's a different way of saying it, but that's the way it's going. So so tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to read from middle of 378 through that first paragraph on 379. And we'll read it as a whole and then see if we need to, what we need to do afterwards. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone is your family, not within the concept of personhood, but within the concept of expression. The concept of personhood says, I am me and they are them. But my family is an extension of the thought I. So they are closer to I than are those who stand farther away as them. The concept of personhood is a concept of division and separation. So that even within the idea of my family, oh, that's interesting. I missed that when I read it before. So that even within the idea of my family, I am me and they are them. The concept of expression is the understanding and acceptance of symbolism. Expression says this world is an illusion. It is the expression of the freedom of the Son of God. Therefore, everything I see and experience is a symbol of that one expression. As the symbol of one expression, it is also one. Therefore, what seems many is one. This is the meaning of the word family. So I said I was going to read on, but I just want to make I'm going to stop and make a comment. What I said, oh, I didn't see that before, is that even within the concept of my family, right? These are the people who are closer to me than anybody in the world. But even within, you know, this idea that we're joined is the thought of separation. When you're listening to the thinking mind, ego, the idea, you know, the wish to be independent. So even within my closest contacts, I'm still me and you know, you and Marge and Janet and Debbie and who whoever's still them, right?
Yeah.
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 The concept of personhood is the concept of division and separation, so that even within the idea of my family, I am me, and my brothers and sisters and mom and all, whoever, and they are them, even within the concept of family. The concept of expression is the understanding and acceptance of symbolism. Expression says, this world is an illusion. It is the expression of the freedom of the Son of God. Therefore, everything I see and experience is a symbol of that one expression, the freedom of the Son of God. As a symbol of one expression, it is also one. Therefore, what seems many is one. This is the meaning of the word family. And again, you know, it just really seems to be contrasting these two thought systems, because as we said before, it's splinters and splinters and splinters and splinters, the idea of the wish to be independent continues to split and separate and differentiate, whereas seeing through the eyes of God, seeing through the heart, seeing through this concept of expression, it's all one. You get back to that place that Byron Katie and Jeff Foster were talking about. When somebody says, you're a liar, you go, oh yeah, that is the human condition. Yeah, yeah, you're right, I am a liar.
right along with you there, buddy.
Yeah, right, you and me both, right. So it's contrasting those two systems of thought. Again, this is the meaning of the word family. There is only one family in God because there is only one God. There are no differences among people, and so there are no rules they must follow. There are no differences among people, and so there are no rules they must follow. This is a simple statement within the release of personhood. Personhood does see differences and rules and expectations, and it makes judgments. It's what we were just talking about. That's the base of all judgment. Well, I wouldn't do it that way. That's against my rules, right?
Right.
But person.
It's a measuring stick, right?
Yeah, but personhood is a measuring stick built to maintain the illusion of separateness.
And I'm the golden stick.
Yeah, I'm the arbiter of what's acceptable and what's not. It's all from my perspective, and y'all are all doing it wrong.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I'm a liar, right? Yeah. I find that in the human experience. And accepting that. Yeah. As opposed to the rejection.
What was really cool the first time I saw Byron Katie do that. It's not that she just whatever he said. It's like she really looked for me and went, "Yep, there it is. I am a liar."
Right. Right. Yeah, it's genuinely recognizing that. Yeah.
Right.
So look at your brother and your sister, and the total expression that is your family. Realize it is only an expression of freedom, a desire for experience and the expression of that desire. It has no rules and no expectations have been placed on it. So, which is really funny, right? It's like, no, they can't be doing it wrong. There's no wrong, right? It's an expression of freedom. And that expression is an expression of the one. There's only one. There's only one to express, and it seems like there's many of us, but there's only one. And there is nothing wrong occurring within that expression. That expression has no rules, and no expectations have been placed on it.
Yeah, and, you know, God knows if we could all only just see it as whatever your brother's doing is an expression of their freedom. Oh, my God.
Well, in fact, it's an expression of my freedom. which is actually pretty liberating. If they can't mess it up, neither can you.
Right.
And I think that's what A Course in Miracles is probably talking about when it talks about this projection. You know, I'm afraid I'm messing it up, so I look out there and find other people who are messing it up. No, I definitely got this right. It's you guys who are messing it up. So, look at your brother and sister in the total expression that is your family. Realize it is only an expression of freedom. A desire for experience and the expression of that desire. A desire for experience and the expression of that desire. It has no rules and no expectations have been placed on it. You look at your own freedom, given you that you may learn the answer to your own curious question. Everything you see and each circumstance is a gift from you to you. And the gift shall continue as long as you ask the question. The question being, what if everything was different than it was? What if there was a multitude of experiences we could experience? This world is an answer to that question. What if everything was different than it really was? Than it really is. You know, what if there were a bunch of us? Some having good experiences, some having bad experiences.
Right. And I'm the decider of the good and the bad.
Right. Right. But it's like everything you see is an answer to that. So this guy over here, you know, taking kids away from their parents, or, you know, these people starving or being bombed in wherever that place was, Aleppo. That's an expression of this desire for experience. And the desire for experience is that desire to know the answer to the question, what if everything was different than it actually is? Right?
Yeah.
Everything you see in each circumstance is a gift from you to you. And the gift shall continue as long as you ask the question. Everything is a gift. And it is recognized as a gift if it is accepted in this way. But it cannot be seen as a gift when viewed with the measuring stick of personhood. For with that stick held firmly in your hand, you forget who you are. And you forget what you look on. Therefore, you do not recognize your gift and you separate yourself from it. You know, it's what we were just talking about just a second ago, that projection thing. It's all either freedom and a desire to experience and an expression of the desire to experience, or everybody's messing it up and, you know, and you're going down with that same judgment. And the latter, of course, is the illusion.
Yeah, the illusion that or the concept of personhood being a concept of division and separation.
Yeah. Yes. Now I'm looking at the board and I'm seeing Cheryl says, so how does one change his mind about that, Jacqueline? That there is no separation and someone is not having a bad experience, etc. I don't think you look at the people being bombed, and Kathy points out, by their own leader. But I don't think you look at the people being bombed and going, oh, honey, it's just an illusion. You're going to get over it. But you do recognize that You know, I think you have to start right here at home, right? I mean, you have to start and go, this is the experience that I seem to be having, you know, whatever's going on with my house or my partner or my job or my bills or, I mean, whatever it is, right? And go, this is the experience that I seem to be having. And I don't need that to be any different than it is because I recognize it really has no effect on the truth of my being. I mean, it's the same thing that we've talked about before. You have to stop wanting everything to be different. And it's just like where we started this, you know, you have to stop wanting even your judgments to be different. You have to go, ah, there's a judgment. That's the human condition. Thank God that's not the truth of me. Thank God, what are you calling? Oh, arrogant man. Thank God, arrogant man is not the truth of me. Yeah, Kathy says, remember it's a story. Remember who I truly am. Cheryl, was that the question you had? Because after she asked us those questions, she said, I have a question. Yeah. Yeah. That's the paradigm shift. It's the recognition that the experience that I'm having, the experience that the folks in Aleppo are having, is the experience that we ask to have when we wanted to experience things different than they actually were, when we wanted to experience many instead of one, when we wanted to experience the possibility of pain and suffering instead of joy. And we reinforce that with every thought that goes, oh, this should be different. I should be different. Connie should be different. Life should be different. It should be sunshiny instead of raining, or rainy instead of sunshiny.
Yeah, and that's we started off talking about that, or at least I started off talking about that chapter 15 in, was it Anik Shanti's book?
No, that's Michael Singer's Untethered Michael Soul, Singer's. Unconditional
Sorry,
Happiness.
I get them mixed up. But yeah. Anyway, the fact that we can expect enlightenment just by being happy, well, It's because if you're happy, you don't need things to be different.
Right. Right.
Is the basis of it. If you're doing that loving all method, you don't need to be things to be different.
Right.
If you're at peace, you don't need things to be different. If you're forgiving, you don't need things to be different.
Exactly.
If your heart's boiling over with love, you don't need things to be different. It's only when you see yourself as separate from yourself that you need things to be different.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. If you're not at peace, you don't need it to be different. Yeah, yeah. And Cheryl says, this is the, that's what Kathy said. Cheryl says, this is the loop when things don't seem to be peaceful, joyful. It seems so darn real. Yeah.
So y'all getting ready to have a storm out there? We're getting ready to have one here, it looks like.
Oh, okay. See, everything's the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. It's overcast here, certainly. Yeah.
Well, these trees are picking up some wind and blowing around like crazy.
Oh, it's not. No, no, it's still pretty calm here now, but I think there's like 60% chance of thunderstorms or something. And I should say, Kathy talked about emotional acceptance, and yeah, that's absolutely what we're talking about. I should also say that it's Connie, Cheryl's asking where Connie is, and Connie is in southern Indiana, New Albany, in the Knobs. She's out in the woods.
Knobs.
She's out in the woods. Lovely,
Yeah.
lovely, lovely setting there. Okay, so we're out of time. So, guys,
Boy, that went by in a hurry.
it sure did. It sure did. We read like five paragraphs.
I think we got as far as we did last time.
we got a little bit further. So we read through 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 11 through 15 is where we stopped. So next week we'll pick up with verse 16. So thanks, Kathy. Kathy says she enjoyed it. And Kathy, we enjoy you and your comments and your participation and your passion for this. So
Yeah, very much so. And you too, Cheryl. Thank you.
and
Thank
you
you.
too, Cheryl. Absolutely. We love you guys and we'll see you next week. Okay, bye.
Bye.